In our meditation practice, we continue to deepen our attention into our embodied experience. Having a wider sense as possible of body. Body as not just this physical form, but body as the ground of our experience, as our location of awareness. Body as this here-ness. This location where experience arises, reveals itself, and unfolds. This location where breathing, feeling, hearing arises and passes away. This location where we're confronted with life, where our own life has its emanation. Its manifestation. Right here. And so our practice emphasizes this being right here. That's not to say that success in meditation is determined by how much time you feel present. As you'll have noticed, the nature of the mind is to move. Your attention gets caught up and led away. But in the moment when you notice that, in the moment when naturally, however caught up, however confused, however involved in some story you've become, at that moment that you recognize that, that's a moment of presence, of awakening. In that moment, the story, the dream, the holographic reality you've been inhabiting of through that image and idea dissolves. What a shame if in those moments of awakening we start to worry about where we were caught up, how long we were caught up, why we were caught up. So to really emphasize the moments of recognition, the moments of coming back, the moments of finding yourself right here, as a moment of extraordinary significance, extraordinary possibility. It doesn't matter whether you were caught up for several moments or for many minutes. Here you are. Here's the opportunity to establish yourself in direct attention, steady attention, caring, allowing, intimate attention. or taking a moment to check in with your posture. Really letting your physical attitude reflect the inner attitude. Upright, alert, bright, and relaxed, receptive, at ease. Bringing your fullness of attention, natural brightness of the mind into your belly. Taking one or two deep breaths if you need to find your abdomen with your attention. Placing your hand there if it's helpful. And as you breathe out, arriving in your belly as fully as possible. Really resting in the pause at the end of the out-breath. And letting the in-breath arise by itself as the belly expands with it. You may find yourself practicing with an agitated mind or a peaceful mind, a happy mind or a worried mind, a mind that's disturbed by thoughts of too hot or too uncomfortable, or disturbed by this story or that story from your life. Just seeing if your awareness can be spacious enough to let all those things be as they are. Not pushing them away, nor investing in them. But giving wholehearted attention to deepening into this moment, this experience, this very breath, moment by moment. harnessing the power of being, of awareness. Training your attention in resting. And sensing deeply into right here. Meeting life as it reveals itself in this location, unfiltered by desire, by ideas, by manipulation. If you notice your attention's been led away, not making a fuss about it, but using the moment of recognition to simply reconnect. Just finding yourself right here. Belly, breath, clear, caring awareness. And just sensing the presence of awareness, of that which knows. Allowing yourself to rest in awareness. Allowing your immediate experience as focused on the breathing to be revealed within awareness. And if there's some steadiness and brightness of attention, then whatever experience arises, letting it be included in awareness. Allowing for the changing nature of bodily sensations. And changing sounds that come to your ears. Changing thoughts and feelings that pass through consciousness. And noticing moment by moment both the changing quality of your experience and the spaciousness of awareness in which that experience is happening. If you find yourself lost or confused or unsure as to where to pay attention, then just coming back to breath and belly, re-establishing some steadiness. And then again, seeing what experience draws your attention, noticing its changing quality. And the knowing of it. Breathing comes and goes, ever new, moment by moment. Bodily sensation and vibration, and its dance of movement and expression, moment by moment. Sounds, thoughts and feelings. Arising, having their brief life, and fading away. Letting your awareness be spaciousness enough to accommodate all these experiences without judging. Without clinging on to the pleasant or rejecting the unpleasant. Paying the deep respect to life, to let it unfold like this, without manipulating, without demanding. Without refusing. If you find your mind dulling or spacing out, stand up. Supporting your intention to be awake. If there's some aspect of your experience that's uncomfortable, difficult, whether some physical sensation, some painful memory, some obsessive thought, noticing the tendency to resist it, to want to be rid of it, to create stories around it. And just feeling into the tension of that resistance. Seeing if you can dare to meet that resistance. And in feeling the tension of it, to let it relax. Meeting your experience with a gentle welcome. Allowing it to express its brief, poignant life as it arises and passes within the vast ocean of awareness that has room for it. If there's some aspect of your experience that's particularly sweet or delightful, noticing if there's any tendency to make much of it, to hang on to it, to create stories about oneself around it. And seeing if you can dare to look beneath the story, just simply allowing the sweetness of the expression. Revealing its radiance within the embrace of awareness. the last minutes of meditation, just maintaining this wholeheartedness in relation to whatever you're experiencing right now. Even if what you're experiencing is an unwillingness to be wholehearted, if you're experiencing some boredom, restlessness, disillusionment, and seeing if you can really meet that, investigate the energy of that. Be curious about your investment in it. Now letting your awareness fill your body. Sensing into your sense of location. Filling your body with awareness. As the bell rings, slowly adding looking, listening, and movement to your field of attention as you stay connected moment by moment. Well, I wonder if there are any questions you have about meditation practice in terms of the way we've been presenting it.
He told us to be aware of everything that arises in the meditation. So if I hear a sound outside, I should pay attention to this sound, not to my breath.
Okay. So, the in many ways, the most... Did you hear the question at the back? Yeah. So the instruction seems to be to pay attention to whatever's happening. If I hear a sound, should I pay attention to that instead of the breath? In many ways, the most important thing isn't what we're paying attention to, but the quality of attention. So usually our attention easily just kind of runs wildly here and there. And that's why we emphasize the body and the breathing as a way of kind of steadying that. When there's enough steadiness to stay in touch with your experience moment to moment, then you can let anything be included in that as an investigation. Right? Sound, bodily sensation, whatever it is, as a way of seeing what is it really. Everyday mind says, the bird sings, I hear it, I'm here, the bird's there. Basta. But if we investigate that, we might see, as I was speaking about last night, that actually our relationship is much, much more intimate than that. But the sense of separation is a rather clumsy and rigid one. So any phenomena can be met, investigated, if you like, with awareness. But if there's not much steadiness, then we could find ourselves jumping, oh, there's a sound, there's an itch, there's a this, there's a that, and we just monkey mind. So you have to see what condition your mind's in, how your attention is, to see what's needed. Is it the aspects, the Buddha spoke about the two wings of this practice, being samatha, in steadiness, focus, calm, and vipassana. Inquiry, exploration, insight. So sometimes the mind is just vague and wobbly, and we need to emphasize samatha, the sense of really just letting one thing, breath, one thing, and steadying. And sometimes there's a kind of brightness and a flexibility and a capacity to our attention that we can emphasize the exploration, the inquiry. So if you find your attention drawn to something like hearing, that's fine. But if you find that you start to get carried away by it, then I would say to just let that go and come back to the simple, the most simple object, breathing. Okay. Yeah.
Point of view of studying myself is somewhat a bit different to just being or simply
Well, that's true. It can seem to be mostly, I think, because our sense of investigating or exploring tends to be a very mental sense, right? We sense, well, if I'm going to explore my relationship to hearing, like you're just discovering, our sense of expression, oh, where's the bird? The bird's here. Where am I? I'm there. And that seems to be in opposition to what we're talking about. So the exploring, in a way, is not one that we're doing as a conceptual process, but exploring really by being so close to the experience that we start with our direct perception to recognize that there's something deeper than that happening. And then the function of the thinking mind is really very, very secondary. So it's fine. It's normal to have thoughts about that. But to really let the mind follow the direct experience rather than leading the way. Mind is a wonderful tool, but it's not the best thing for leading the way. And that's where we get confused, because the mind wants to lead the way, and we've let it lead the way for so long that that's what we're really used to. It's good for leading the way in some things, you know, writing a shopping list, doing maths. You know, it's really good for that. But it tends to then lead the way in too many other areas. And investigating the nature of our experience is an activity for the mind to follow some way, behind, in a very secondary way. And so in some ways, learning the art of meditation is learning the art of leading with a different capacity than the thinking mind. It's not to make the thinking mind wrong or any way, but just to see if, not to give it all the authority. Does that help?
I feel like there's a kind of association between the observer and the mind. As you said yesterday, I think it's identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of contribution.
Okay. So, check that out. That's very interesting. Sometimes we can feel like the observer is the mind. Sometimes we can feel like the observer is something else that can see the mind. There's obviously something weird about our sense of ourselves. If we at one minute can think we are the mind, and another minute can think we're something else that has a mind. Right? That's showing us that there's something we really don't know very well about ourselves. So without trying to draw any conclusions about whether you're one or the other, just see if you, when there's enough quietude to really be able to investigate that without it becoming just a lot of ideas, see what might you find out by really exploring that. See where that leads. Yeah. Yes.
Follow what you just said. I think when we talk about our mind, we talk about something that has various aspects. And when we pay attention to our thoughts, they come from different parts of our brain. I believe that the frontal lobe cortex. But when we talk about awareness, we talk about sensation. And it comes from a different part of the brain. So this dichotomy is there, physically.
Well, I don't think if I opened up your frontal lobal cortex doodah that I would find a thought in there.
You would find me thinking.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And
what happens
under various technological means that are available today, when people are put into this MRI, whatever it is, they are told to think about something and to sense something. And the activity in those parts of the brain are different locations.
Sure, sure. There's a little, you have to be careful with that. What actually is happening in the brain is electrical impulses, right? And there may be different ones associated with sensation and thought, right? So in our direct experience, in the same way, if we have a thought about the future, for example, an anxious thought, let's say, we have an anxious thought, then we'll find that has a different sense. We can feel a different sense of ourselves in the body, in the head maybe, if you want to emphasize the brain, that's stimulated by an anxious thought, which is different. Then you feel a sensation, a cool air, blowing across, it's a different sense. So it may well produce very different things in the brain, right? But our interest is not so much in working out what's happening physically. But when we speak about the mind, we're not really speaking about the brain. The brain is an organ, and we tend to think, and this is important, we tend to think that our mind lives up here somewhere. But that's really because we're so used to stimulating the energy center up here, the energy in the body. Not all cultures think their mind exists in their head. So actually, mind doesn't really have a location. That's what I mean when I say if we were opening up your brain, we wouldn't find thinking in that sense. So even though the sense can be very strong, but we talk about my mind, and we do this, my mind, my mind. That's one of the reasons why we emphasize belly in meditation, to be able to have a sense of consciousness in a much, much larger sense than existing from here to here. Actually, it's possible for us to experience consciousness without any boundary, including anything, and a bit like I was exploring last night, not confined to the head, not confined to the body, not confined by anything at all. And as I was saying last night, our way into that is just by meeting our experience and trying to set aside what we think we already know about it and seeing what we might discover. If we think we already know what thinking is and what the mind is, then there's no room left for discovery. So if we're interested to discover, the suggestion is, let's put aside what I think I know and see what can I find out about what's happening. Okay. Okay, last one, yes.
I found myself today in kind of a regression to what I experienced yesterday.
Mm.
Yesterday night at the night meditation, I felt I was really here. And it felt like a kind of like I felt very good. And I felt like I succeeded finally to be here.
Okay.
And today I came to the since the morning, I've been experiencing completely the opposite.
Really? So, where are you now? Yesterday you were here.
Well, I've experienced in this meditation, when you're very tired, and like really, really, really tired, and you're trying to stay awake, and it's like this,
Now
it's like your head is falling and your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is what I experienced in this meditation. It's like my mind was, I couldn't be here for a minute. It's
Stand up when that's happening.
No, what I've experienced in my mind is not falling asleep. It's like it was thinking the whole time. It was like I was trying to stop it for a minute, but I couldn't.
Mm.
So do you think that sometimes after you've experienced succeeding to do, could be like making a...
It could be like that. We were actually just speaking about this before, the way in which if you experience something that's new, deeper, more open, there's a way in which the old, familiar, tight sense of self can kind of freak out and try and regain the sense of the familiar. So it can be that when you have an experience that feels particularly pleasant, present, particularly expansive, particularly still, particularly exquisite, that on the back of that experience, old familiar patterns kind of race in. And also in contrast to this newfound kind of exquisite sense of things, the old mind can feel very kind of gross and chaotic. So just to see if you can have some patience with the process. Let the kind of chaotic, gross old mind have its little rant and rave. And try not to be at all fixated on trying to regain the old experience. Because if the old experience was revealing to you something about being here, well, where are you now? Even when old, gross, chaotic mind is ranting on, it's happening right here. Even that ranting mind, that's your perfect doorway. If you recognize that the mind is ranting, then you're present. And that which is present to the ranting mind isn't troubled by it. It's wide open. Says, rant? Okay, have a rant. I don't mind. I've got limitless space for anything. Okay. So, we need to stop now so that there's time for the groups. So time for walking meditation for some of you and group meetings for others. With the walking, just really seeing, rather than kind of, you can easily get into a bit of an automatic mode with walking. We just sort of align ourselves with the other zombies and walk. And just remembering that walking, the goal of the walking is to really be present with ourselves and walking at a pace which really supports you being in contact. If you find that you've lost contact, just stop for a moment. Let your energy drain down into your feet. Feel the ground. And then begin again. Okay, thank you. And for those of you having groups, please, if you can go kind of at a more lively walking pace to the group, then we have more time to explore together. Thank you.